From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 digital exclusive.
Well, we're excited today to have on our Writer's Block podcast, Aaron Nell Steinke. I interviewed him about a year ago for a Positive Vibe segment because his graphic novel series of Mr. Wolf's Class has just really taken off, and so I wanted to have him on here. Thanks for checking in with us. I know you have to teach in just a little bit. It's hard to get a teacher on because your hours are pretty, you know, cut and dry.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult because we're right there in that prime spot. But you're up early, and I'm up early, so this works perfectly.
So here we are, yeah. And you've got second and third graders. Do you have second and third graders this year too?
No, actually, I have fourth and fifth grade.
Oh,
and I had fourth and fifth grade last year too.
Oh, it was fourth and fifth last year. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, my mind is going.
I've taught every age.
So, oh, you have?
it says somewhere that I teach second and third graders still, if you look online.
Oh, okay. All right. And so I want to talk about just everything that's happening with you and your graphic novels and what you've got coming out. But I first want to, you know, just kind of dive back into your writing history and how this all came to be. Now, did you grow up in Portland?
I grew up in the Camas, Vancouver area. So I attended Camas School District schools, but our address was Vancouver. So we lived in, you know, the country of Southwest Washington.
Okay. And so growing up, were you always into, because you're a talented illustrator as well, were you always into, you know, whether it be comic books, graphic novels, I mean, that sort of genre?
I definitely love reading comic strips, and I love reading comic books. Making my own comics was something that came about a lot later.
Mm-hmm.
I was more of into the illustrating of the very splashy and dynamic illustrations of superhero comics. And so I would imitate those and I would draw them, but I didn't really consider myself a storyteller until much, much later.
Yeah.
Writing to me was difficult. Even reading, it took me a while to find books that really connected with me. Certainly the comic strips that we would get printed in the Daily and the Sunday newspapers were something that I would devour.
Yeah. That's interesting because they say even with my own kids, they tend to gravitate toward graphic novels. And, you know, reading teachers will always say, like, well, that's fine. It's totally fine. It's a gateway to other things, too. So whatever gets them reading, right?
Well, I think, you know, there's graphic novels are a medium, just like, you know, film is a medium, mm-hmm. and prose novels are a medium. So, you know, it does pair the written word with pictures, and they can be tools to help developing readers because they're scaffolding the context with pictures. So, you know, there could be a book that maybe the reading level is pretty high, but because the illustrations are present on the page, it doesn't take you long to visualize where the story takes place and what's happening. You can follow the pictures.
Yeah.
But I think there's also, you know, as an adult, I read a lot of graphic novels as well that are more suited for adults. So, you know, just like anything, it's not like a medium that is exclusive to one age.
Right.
I hope, you know, more adults read more comics too.
Yeah. Well, I know my husband loves them for sure. So
yeah.
So you went to college, where did you go to college?
Oh, I went all over. So I attended Clark Community College for my first 2 years,
mm-hmm.
To get my associate's degree. Then I went to school in Canada, in Vancouver, for animation, for hand-drawn animation.
Yeah.
And years later, I'd moved back to Portland, Oregon, and had met my future wife, and she encouraged me to go back to school for teaching. And so I went to Portland State to finish up my bachelor's, and then I went to Lewis and Clark for their grad program in teaching.
Okay. And so were you, I mean, because were you of the mindset, like, you know, I'm sure, you know, you loved drawing, you loved making these graphic novels or comics, but you got to make money too, and you have to have like a steady job. Like, was that kind of what you were thinking with it? And I'm sure you loved, I've seen you with your kids. I mean, you're amazing with your class. So was it a combination of those factors that went into
And, you know, my wife had seen me working with kids, and she was a nanny at the time, and thought that I had a good presence with the kids, and so that's how she encouraged me to go back for teaching specifically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was working in the food service industry to get money, and working part time and just scraping by, and I was feeling pretty depressed in a way. And
yeah.
I was working on my comics at the same time, And, you know, when I got admitted to Portland State to go back to school, it was like a big unburdening. I now had a kind of a clear path to steady employment.
Yes.
And I continued making books at the same time. So, you know, my first published graphic novel came out the same year I was admitted to Lewis and Clark's grad school. So I've been I've been publishing and teaching concurrently, you know, since 2009.
Was that one of the Super Dog or Super Cat Dance? Was that one of those books?
The first book that was published by someone other than me was a graphic novel called Neptune.
It
was published by small press publishing friends, Dylan Williams and Greg Means, and it was called Neptune. And then that's the next year I had the Super Crazy Cat Dance, and that was another kind of step up toward actually getting paid for my work and having more distribution and a wider recognition.
Yeah, and so you landed at the most adorable school in the most adorable neighborhood, Woodstock. I just thought it was so awesome when I was there. And I know that when we talked about a year ago, you were telling me that the idea for Mr. Wolf's class was a lot of the inspiration came from your real students, like just, you know, kind of the cast of characters that you see come through your classes.
Yeah, a lot of the work I've done with kids has been inspirational for the work that I make. When I first became a teacher, that's when really I had less and less time to make books. And so I went with the, you know, write what you know and write about your own life. And I started making comic strips about teaching. And they were directly a direct experience from my teaching life. So, you know, there might be I do a comic strip about kids, you know, sharpening pencils down to the nubbins, or, you know, just funny, silly things that would happen in the class. And also the exasperated teacher, which was me, and I drew myself as Mr. Wolf, as an anthropomorph, as a wolf.
Yeah.
To kind of express that feeling of, you know, how I felt as a teacher. And my audience was more teachers. And as I started sharing my comics with my students, I realized they loved the comics, and I wanted to make books specifically for the kids I was teaching. And so then I started making it into a graphic novel, and then I pitched it to Scholastic, and we've got three books out and working on a fourth one now.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I remember seeing it in my daughter's book fair pamphlet, and I was like, I know that guy. I just interviewed that guy.
So cool.
I knew a celebrity. Yeah. and what do your students ever come up to you and say, like, was that scene? Was that me? You know, was that one part me where the character
yeah,
did this
that
or
happens.
That? Yeah.
For sure. You know, I try not to copy things from life so
yeah.
much anymore because of that. I think I don't want to have my students inspired by my work so much that they're copying it. I will tell you a true example where I've told the story before, but I haven't told the latter part. So let me bear with me. There was a moment where I was cleaning up my classroom. This was like 6 or 7 years ago. And in the classroom, I found a note on the ground, and I had to painstakingly get on all fours and reach underneath this table. And I unfolded this note, which was folded like 8 times. And in the middle of the note, it just said fart. And I made a comic strip about that. And then I showed it to the kids, and I took out the word fart, but then they found out because I put them online.
Yeah.
And then students were imitating that comic where,
like a
group of students a year later, like just hid a note that said fart in the classroom. And I was like, oh, man.
So, copycats.
I'm also worried, too, as I'm making my own original content. Sometimes things that kids come up with are really interesting, and I don't know if they're taking things from other media too, like, oh, was that from an episode of a show that they watched?
Right.
And then now I'm just like, and so I'm trying to make stuff up, but keep the feel of the classroom true.
Yes. Yeah. You don't want to unintentionally steal something from a show that they watched that now they're doing in your, I get it. Some of them do read your graphic novels in class, right? I seem to remember that you guys were actually reading some of the scenes.
Yeah, when you came to come last year, I was reading it to the class because I realized I hadn't actually just presented it to them and read it to them.
Yeah.
But I have them on my shelf, and students get copies, and they read them in class like they're any other book. It's pretty cool. And then there's other, you know, I'll see kids in the hallway, and sometimes people will ask me to sign their book at lunchtime or something.
Yeah.
That's really, really sweet.
Yeah. What was the works? I remember this from the story. Antimorph? Is that what Mr. Wolf is?
Yeah. Anthropomorph. I don't know if that's a real word, but anthropomorphism, you know, is taking something that's not human and projecting human qualities on it.
So, okay.
You know, a robot is an anthropomorph. You know, a lot of Disney characters, you know, animal characters that talk and sound like humans.
Yeah. All the characters in your book, would they be considered anthropomorphs? I don't know if I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah, I mean, they're animal humans.
Yeah.
But I will say there's a difference between, like, when I draw animal characters, I really don't acknowledge that they're animals, because
mm-hmm.
I think of them as being people. These are just kind of masks or something. Like, I don't draw tails on the characters.
Right.
I really think of them as being human.
Yeah.
But then I have some weird things in my books too. Like there's this subplot in Mr. Wolf's class with these rats that live in the school that wear sweaters and clothing, and they have their own little society.
Oh.
So that's a whole other thing, and I don't even know how to categorize that.
but yeah, they wear full, like the characters do wear clothes. This isn't like Winnie the Pooh who doesn't wear pants. I mean, they're like fully humans, only not humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I could have drawn them like regular people, but, you know, originally I was drawing the comic strip, and I wanted to protect the identity of my students.
Right.
So I didn't want to draw them as they were or could be, like, oh, that looks like me, maybe that's me, and
yeah.
So, you know, to mask that completely, I drew them as animal characters, and I like drawing animal characters. I, you know, grew up on Disney anthropomorphism, like Disney's Robin Hood and
mm-hmm.
Those kind of things, so it's fun, and it's easy to get away with like, I don't have to fuss about the way a regular person looks. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to draw some books with real representation of how people look, and to, you know, express the diversity of the classrooms that I teach in through the way human beings look and dress. But for right now, it's fun to do it as animal characters.
Yeah. Well, no, and you're so good. You do it so quickly too. I remember you drawing something in a book for me that you gave for my daughters, actually. So very, very talented at that. Now you are on... is it your third Mr. Wolf's class in that series anyway that's come out? I know you had Lucky Stars and the Mystery Club.
Yeah, Lucky Stars. So the first one it's called The First Day of School, but it's not actually printed anywhere.
Okay.
The second one is Mystery Club, and the third one is Lucky Stars, and that just came out in September. And I'm working on the fourth one, tentatively titled Field Trip, and that will come out a year from now in December of 2020.
I've been on some of those school field trips. You probably got a lot of inspiration from going on those over the years and the things that happen, right?
Yes. it was the logical next step to have a field trip. I wanted to get the kids out of the classroom, and
mm-hmm.
I really wanted to make a book where I showcased the Pacific Northwest and an old growth forest in the Pacific Northwest. So, you know, when I was at Buckman School as a student teacher 10 years ago, we took the students to Opal Creek and Jawbone Flats, which is in the Mount Jefferson Wilderness area, the Opal Creek Wilderness area, which is an old-growth forest that was protected. And I just wanted to draw really big trees and put the kids in that setting.
Yeah. So, oh, that sounds like it's going to be amazing. So that's coming out next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have to finish that. So yeah. After school, that's what I have to work on.
Oh, you know, so you're not busy at all. Yeah. And you and don't you have a book festival coming up that you're appearing at, right? In November?
There's two. Next week I'm going to let me clarify. October 22nd and 23rd, I'm up in Vancouver, BC for the Vancouver Writing Festival.
Okay.
And then in November, on November 9th, it's a Saturday, I'm going to be at the Witzel Auditorium at 10 o'clock in the morning with Scholastic's graphics authors, Raina Telgemeier, Gail Galligan, Jenny Holm, and my friend Jonathan Hill is from Wild Weather. He's moderating the talk, and Molly Ostertag. So there's a bunch of us who are Scholastic authors who are giving a big presentation about graphic novels.
Wow.
And it should be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And Raina Telgemeier is the big star, so her books are known by probably, you know, every kid in America.
Yeah, I think you're kind of climbing up there. I mean, haven't you won and or been nominated for several awards for your books?
Yeah, and the Mr. Wolf's class just got an Oregon Spirit Award honor.
Nice.
Which was really cool. But yeah, I've won a few awards, and it's been really amazing. There's the Eisner Award, the Oregon Book Award, and some other ones too. And
I love how humble you are about it. No,
it's really. I mean,
award.
I don't want to just list off everything, but
yeah,
the big one was the Eisner Award, and then was nominated for a Harvey Award.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, awards are really, really cool. They don't always translate into sales and readers, but it seems like a lot of kids are getting these books and reading them. So that's really my favorite thing, is to hear from parents and teachers and kids saying how much they've enjoyed reading the books. And
yeah,
that makes my day.
And looking at your Mr. Wolf series, I mean, it seems like it would be on the small screen even at some point. Is that something that you've entertained or anything that you've thought about or looked into?
Yeah, the prospect of making it into like a TV series would be really cool. You know, there's nothing solidified or anything, but that's something that I would like to have happen. And you know, I'm taking little steps, but there's nothing to report. but yeah, that would be really cool. I would love to see it as a TV series.
Yeah. Okay. So, and anything else coming up that you would want, you know, our listeners to know about? As far as, I know you mentioned the events you're going to be at in Vancouver and in Portland coming up. Any other opportunities to meet you or, you know, book signings or anything like that?
Yeah. So there is another one. And off the top of my head, I'm having a hard time remembering it. But in December, I'm going to be appearing at the Barnes & Noble in Vancouver, Washington, which is, I think, on a Saturday. So if you live near there or you want to go check that out, I'll be there. Sorry about that. But yeah, the big one is the Portland Book Festival on the 9th of November. That's one not to miss, because kids under 17, you know, kids are free for the event. So I would go to Literary Arts right now or a Portland Book Festival. You could search for that and get tickets. And
How cool is it for your students that they have this like celebrity graphic novelist as a teacher? You know, I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I try to, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, it's me, so obviously it makes me a little uncomfortable, and also like I'm happy about it, but I also don't want to, like, you know, I want to stay humble. But I think if it was someone else, I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, you're so, like, I'm not that impressed with myself.
It must be cool for some of them. Yeah. They get, you know, they're expecting something when they're in my class, and I've connected with a lot of kids because of their love for comics. But you know, I also expect them to, you know, do math and do all the other stuff. And it's not all, you know, it's not all wacky and wild, but it, you know, hopefully I'm making an impression on the kids, and it's, you know, I love teaching. So
it's a positive one. Yeah. Well, Aaron, speaking of teaching, I know you have to get back to your day job, so we'll let you do that. But thanks so much for coming on and chatting with us about everything going on with you. I'm excited to see, you know, what's to come next.
Well, thank you so much, Jenny. And I can't wait to see people who maybe have listened to this podcast and introduce themselves at a future event.
Yeah.
And thanks for reading Mr. Wolf's class.
Oh, yeah, it's a great book. Everyone needs to check it out. Well, the whole series, really. So, Aaron, thanks again. We'll let you get to your job now, your other job.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Jenny.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.